Us again on another wonderful Sunday, September 12th, 2021. I am Pastor Jeremy J. Glenn, pastor of Spirit of Inspire and Love Church, where we are a dynamic church that wants to welcome you into this place and wants to cultivate the believer in you. We want to cultivate the believer in you. I want to thank God for allowing us to see another wonderful day. This day was not guaranteed to any of us. So we thank God because he allowed us to be able to see another wonderful day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in this day. Thank you all for allowing us to just spend a small segment of your time on this Sunday, wonderful Sunday morning. And as you know, if you've been following our ministry here the past few weeks, we have been in a dynamic series called The Power of Discipline. And as I have shared with you all in the past, that the Word of God, okay, it lives through us, it speaks through us, and it what? It meets us wherever we are. And with that being said, knowing that we're in this this series here, The Power of Discipline, I just want to do something a little different this morning. I want to start off, I want to show you just a real quick photo of something here, and I'm going to have our team to pull that first slide up here. I just want to share something this morning here. As you all see the slide on this morning here, I'm gonna share something with you. This photo that you're looking at is less than 24 hours old. It is less than 24 hours old. You say, okay, what is that? You walk up on it and you see some little puppies. You see some little puppies. Who was that? Was it Eddie Murphy on Nutty Professor? Cute little puppy dog, right? Remember Eddie Murphy on Nutty Professor? You know, I laugh at my own jokes. So, you know, y'all a tough crowd. I laugh at my own jokes. But anywho, so I'm minding my own business. I'm doing my thing. I'm getting an oil change, doing my kind of running around on the weekend, and was going by to pick up some groceries, going by a Target Supercenter to pick up some groceries. And all of a sudden, before I get to my destination, here's how things happen. Before I get to my destination, I see this truck with a sign about as big as Reunion Tower in downtown Dallas on it saying, German Shepherd Puppies for sale. How about that? German Shepherd Puppies for sale. Now, probably my wife and a few other folks around here know how crazy I am about German Shepherds, okay? Of all dogs, I call them the gold, okay? Not the goat, the gold. Greatest of all dogs, okay? The greatest of all dogs. That is my, I mean, from Ren 1010, I mean, you name it. I mean, I'm a German Shepherd. I'm just crazy about them. That's my dog, right? And we've been talking about it, and she know I've been talking about getting one for a long time. So I see this sign. I come up on this truck and they all in there. And if you look at the slide on the left, the little photo on the left, that one with his head turned back, that's the one that came up to me. All the rest of them stayed comfortable and stayed in their little pack. But he came up to me right at the edge of the truck. He came up to me wanting to play. Little chain dangling, all this kind of stuff. He just ready to play, ready to lick, do what little puppies do. And the guy's like, you want to hold on? I'm like, nah, better not hold him. Anyway, I just start petting on him and we had a little time and just really bonded. And the dog is just like, oh yeah, I'm going home with him. Well, he almost did, folks. He almost did. And what I told the dude, I said, hey, listen, how much are you selling these for? And if you know anything about German Shepherds, I don't want to talk you up about dogs this morning, but I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Don't click off and move on. Just stay with me here. We're going somewhere with this. Remember, we're in the power of discipline. Okay. He said to me, and if you know anything about German Shepherds, full pedigree show German Shepherd could go easily for about $3,500. Average German Shepherd probably selling right now for about $1,500. This guy, $600. He had the papers, the bloodline, everything. They had 8 weeks worth of shots, everything ready to go. All I need to do is go across the street to PetSmart, get the little kennel, get a couple puppies here, get some dog food, ready to wash them up real good. He was going to come home. Oh, yeah. The wild rabbits in our backyard. Oh, yeah. I was going to put that to an end. And any other critter and things, you know, because we back up to like a little green space here in our backyard. And I'm like, oh, yeah, perfect. He can go with me to work. He can hang out at the office and all that good stuff. And I got in my truck. And as soon as I got in my truck, I ain't gonna tell you what my wife said. I called her. I put on FaceTime. Yeah, I'm calling you. I put on FaceTime. She said, whatever you want to do, I'm going to leave that to you. Just like, okay, that's a whole lot of help. I'm going to leave that to you. But I got in my truck, ready to go pull out, because I don't keep, I was going to, getting ready to go make this transaction with this guy. I had that dog in mind. I already had his name. His name was going to be Zeus. I already had his name and everything. And I mean, I done put some thought into this, man. Dude, Zeus is just like, he's standing there as I'm walking off. He's standing there at the edge, like, where you going? I'm just like, oh my God, I got to go get little Zeus. So anywho, as soon as I get in my car, the Lord started speaking heavy on my spirit. Are you exercising the power of discipline? Are you getting ready to make an impulse decision? Are you getting ready to make an impulse buy, a purchase? You were leaving to go get an oil change and pick up groceries and come home with little Zeus. Where does that stand in the act of the power of discipline? He spoke it so potent to me in my spirit. He spoke it so crisp and so clear into my spirit. And then I began to think on, yeah, you know what? Getting caught up into the moment, becoming a prisoner of the moment and the excitement and all these other things and not thinking about everything else that could serve as a distraction and all these things. And we're going to talk about that a little bit here in the message on today. So the guy was expecting me. Thank y'all for showing that photo. The guy was expecting me to come back and he was like, yeah, this one right here, the little brown tag, that's yours. It's sold to the man right there in the Dallas Cowboys shirt and blah, 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 blah. But I never went back. I refused to go back. I could not lay eyes on little Zeus again because the Lord had already let me know. It's not, here's something I want us to understand. Just because you can doesn't always mean that you should. Okay? Just because you can doesn't always mean that you should. Do you have the means to get some things sometime? Absolutely. But sometimes what happens is we make impulse decisions. We buy things sporadically, and I'm just talking about a purchase and transaction, but we do things off the cuff. We make decisions that are not calculated. We don't think them through all the time. And sometimes it's decisions like that that can have a lasting effect on us for our lives. So I wanted to start off by sharing the message this morning about when we teach these series here, things are going to show up and we're not going to be able to see things the same because once we have information, we study to show ourselves approved. Okay? We have not because we ask not. When God gives us information, it is our job, Zoom. It is our responsibility, Facebook, YouTube. Okay? It is our job, We Talk Radio, to make sure we put into practice. Remember what Paul said, all these things that you have seen in me, put them into practice. And I wanted to start off by showing and sharing when we exercise the power of discipline, it can help us make better decisions in our lives. It can help us to make sure that we think things all the way through. Because sometimes we'll make a decision off the cuff on the surface, but don't realize the roots have a whole lot of things that they can affect. My entire life was going to change. And had we not, and I'll be honest with you, had we not been in this series right now, I promise you, Lil Zeus would be right here in my arms right now preaching with me. Jumping up, licking, doing everything the puppies do. That little fella was going to be right here under my armpit. But this is what we have to do. We have to put these things into practice because these things are going to help us become better in our lives. I just wanted to share that with you on this morning. Have a little fun this morning. And just let you know, we have to exercise the power of discipline in order to be able to do what God needs for us to do so that we're in the best position to be as successful as he wants us to be. Now, that is not the message, but I just wanted to start off with the message. But you've heard the saying here as I transition into our message on today. You've heard the saying here, govern yourselves accordingly. How many times have we heard that in our life? We've seen the sections in our report cards as we went to school, our scholastic report cards. We have our grades listed in one column, one section of the report card. And then there's another section called the behavior, the level of discipline that we have displayed. I believe they called it the conduct version. And what I want to share this morning as we talk about, I'm going to give a scripture here in Proverbs 22 and 6. In Proverbs 22 and 6, as you see on the screen here, the great wisdom, the godly wisdom from the great King Solomon says right here in Proverbs 22 and 6, coming from the New International Version of the Bible, start children off on the way they should go. We know it is train up a child in the right way. Start children off in the way they should go. And even when they're old, they will not depart from it. The key to that scripture, that translation, the NIV version, the key to that is starting off. To start off. Because before something can be developed, there has to be a starting point. There has to be a foundation laid. We say that if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. What foundation has been laid that we're standing on? It's all about how we start, not despising the day of small beginnings. It's all about how we start and we lay that foundation. As I shared a few weeks ago, as we talked about the importance of the foundation. Okay, the foundation is so significant and so important as we're growing and developing and maturing in our lives. It's going to hold up everything else that you encounter. It's going to hold up your principles, your values, the way you make decisions, how you think about things. It all starts at the foundation, starting children off on the right way. That's a word for somebody. So that when they get old, when the walls get built, when the rooftop gets laid, they will not depart from it because they have a solid foundation. And what I want us to understand is before we can get to a point to where we develop the type of behavior in our lives that will lead us to being our best selves, we must understand there is a process. Keep that word in mind. There is a process to obtain before we can get to that point in our lives. So what's next after we get started? We can start businesses, right? Everybody start a business, start a business. We can start businesses. We can start to eat, right? We know what happens after the first of the year. We all become very committed to our diets and exercising and all these things and what we like to call New Year's resolutions. We can get started with all of those things. No problem at all. We have no problem getting started. But the question that I have for us on today is, it's one thing to get started, ladies and gentlemen, but what about the finishing? What do we do to finish? It's easy to get started. I want you to know that. It's easy to get started. But what happens after we get started? What do we do to get to that ending point from which what we started? How many things have you started in your life that you've done and all you've done was just crank up the motor and got started? Well, I want to put our first slide up here related to the message on this morning. I want us to know something about the God that we serve. Because the God that we serve is not just a starter, he is also a completer. The God that we serve is not just a starter, he is also a completer. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Not just the author and then he leaves us hanging, but he's also the finisher. He that starts a great thing and you will complete that great thing inside of you. God is all about completing. And as a matter of fact, when God created the heavens and the earth, he rested on what? Day number seven. He rested on the seventh day. And that's why the Bible, significance of the number seven in the Bible is the number of completion. Because he rested. Why did he rest? Because the work was done. It was completed. He did not rest during the work process. He rested after the work was completed. He didn't get distracted. He didn't see German Shepherd puppies for sale and got veered off and entered into a world of distraction. He did not get lured away, Facebook. He didn't procrastinate nor did he even give up. But our God is a God of completion. And since we are created in his image, the expectation that he has for his people, ladies and gentlemen, the expectation that God has for his people is that we are finishers. We are completers. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my race. I have done what I needed to do. And now I can transition into the next level because I have completed my task. Jesus said, Holy Spirit is on it this morning. Jesus said, it is finished. This is why we're in this series on today. Because we have to learn to exercise the power of discipline to be finishers, not just starters. How can the wealth of the wicked be laid up for the just, and the just are not finishers? We have to be completers. We can't just be starters in our life. We have to be completers. We have to be able to take a task from start A and take it all the way to Z, because we have to complete the things that we set out to complete. Now, what I want us to know is that we just can't be talkers. We have to be completers. We'll talk a good game, but sit on the sidelines. Now, we'll have great ideas, don't get me wrong, and we have those desires, but to actually bring those ideas and desires into fruition, it's time for the people of God to not just be starters. We have to be completers. And y'all know our thematic scripture of this year. Y'all know we have been all over Ephesians 3 and 20. And I just want, as we get ready to get into the meat and the potatoes of this message here, as you see on the screen right now in Ephesians 3 and 20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, because of that power that's working on the inside of us. And it is God's desire for us to understand that we have the power within to be completers. But there's something that we must learn in order to become completers. And as we learned last week, as we're in our series here, The Power of Discipline, as we learned last week, we have to embrace discipline. But we must now learn the process of discipline. Our message on today, ladies and gentlemen, is the process of discipline. It is, in fact, the process of discipline. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for just another word, a word that is going to speak to our spirits. It's going to free us. It's going to remove every chain. It's going to remove the procrastinations and the things that just kind of keep us ensnared, to keep us from being completers, Lord. Give us this process in our lives and help us to understand what we need to do to stay discipline. We live in a world today where we're distracted with so many things, and we have devices, and there's technology, and all these things that keep us from sometimes just being focused and going where we need to go. But Lord, thank you for your word, the ram in the bush, the Holy Bible, your love letter to your people, that's going to speak to our lives and speak to our hearts. We welcome you into this place, regardless to when we're listening to this message, whether it be live or next week or whenever, Lord, it doesn't matter, because your word penetrates and it's beyond time. And we thank you for your word on today in the name of Jesus, Lord. Just open every ear, soften every heart, open every mind, and allow us to receive your seed of the word on today. In the mighty, beautiful, bountiful, magnificent name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray on today. Amen. Amen. I'm ready to get after this word right now. And here's what I want us to understand. We're going to put up another slide on this morning here. And I want you to just let this slide, let this just kind of saturate into your spirit as we move into this message here. We Talk Radio, y'all that listen to us on the Shine Lord program on this morning, we have slides. So if you ever want to see our slides, you can join us live, join us on YouTube, join us on Facebook, and be able to get the full benefit of the messages that we teach here. Our first slide says, every person that we read about in the Word of God had to endure a process before being used by God. I'm going to say that again. Every person that we read about in the Word of God, think about that. All the 12 disciples, okay? Think about that. Noah, Moses, Ezekiel, every last one of them, Isaiah, Esther. We can go on and on and on, King David. We can go on and on and on, Jonah. Every person that we read about in the Word of God had to endure a process before being used by God. Think about that. Somebody that comes to mind to me is King David. When I talk about the process, King David, and how he started off as a young shepherd boy, tending the sheep, learning to nurture and cultivate and be a caretaker, to protect the flock that he was given responsibility of. This would later lead to him standing up, and as he had to defend the sheep and had to get animals away from all the predators of the sheep from trying to attack them, it cultivated him, it nurtured him, it grew him so that he could become a better cultivator, a better nurturer. And then he was able to go toe to toe with an uncircumcised Philistine by the name of Goliath. And he was so skilled that all it took was one throw from a smooth stone to take out one of the fiercest, biggest and baddest and boldest giants of the Philistine army during that time. It was a process. And that later laid the foundation for him to becoming the great king of Israel. But he wasn't ready to be king at age 12. He had to go through the process, the growth, the development. In other words, David had to become a finisher of the process before he stepped in to his destiny. I think about our Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, born in a manger, and how he went through a process. And let's just talk about the practical side of Jesus. He was a carpenter. He learned a skill. He learned a skill trade, learning how to build. It's no coincidence that when he looked Peter, and we're going to talk about him, when he looked Peter in the eyes and said, "Upon this rock, I will build my church." This is carpenter talk. "I will build my church. I will go away and prepare a place for you." This is carpentry talk from Jesus. But he had to go through the process of learning carpentry skills from a practical sense, okay? Okay, remember, he humbled himself now to accept the flesh for what it was. So he learned the carpentry skills, and it eventually helped him become the builder that he was. He was able to build people, build the church, and now building the kingdom of God all started from the process of carpentry. Wonderful thing that I want us to know about that. God is all about the process. And when he will go to prepare a place for us, oh, the carpentry work from our holy carpenter, that's going to be something that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. The carpentry work that Jesus has done for us when we see him again in glory. And what I want us to understand is we got to keep in mind the process. We have to keep in mind the process, because while there are so many examples in the 66 books of the Bible that we can talk about the process, I just wanted to utilize two of those examples, okay? Because they're related to the same bloodline. King David later on talking about Jesus, because there's something there about building kingdoms. There's something there about building people. There's something there about being the shepherd, the holy shepherd, the great shepherd, the shepherd that oversaw the flock, the shepherd that oversaw the children of Israel. This is what God does. He works us into his harmonious works, right? He works us into to what he's doing. What is a song? "God, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me." Well, we have to go through the process to be included in whatever God is doing. Oh, I'm preaching on this morning. We got to go through the process to be used by God when he wants us to be used. We can't step into an ocean and we haven't learned to swim in a pool. We can't step into a pond and we haven't mastered what it is to be in a pond, okay? To be in a small pool. There is a process. This is why God says we go from faith to faith. Glory to glory. We go from level to level. Okay. New levels bring on new devils. Okay. There are certain devils we ain't ready for. There are certain levels we ain't ready for. God is all about the process, and God is all about the completion. And what I want us to understand is we put our next slide up here on this morning here, as we put our next slide up on this morning here, when we understand and accept the process of discipline, we will then understand there is nothing that can stop us from pursuing and completing what we set out to achieve. I'm going to say that again as we leave that slide up here just a little bit longer. When we understand and accept the process of discipline. We will then understand there is nothing that can stop us. Absolutely nothing that can stop us. If God be for who? If God be for us, who can be against us? When we understand this process, there is nothing that can stop us from pursuing and completing what we set out to achieve. Being focused. Being intentional. Being on purpose. Getting up with a purpose. Getting up with a plan. These are all examples of getting up and accepting, embracing discipline. Not just going through the motions or the commotions, but being intentional. Having a sense of direction in your daily pursuit as you get out and do the things that God needs for you to do. Do you have a plan to be successful? Do you have a mindset of completing the task? These are some mental byproducts that come from developing self-discipline, which is what we're going to talk about on today. But I wanted to pose those questions so we can give ourselves a personal gut check to say, are we living this way, or do we be tossed by the waves of the sea, just tossed going back and forth and allowing the sea to dictate the direction in which we go? Now, our biblical analogy as we get ready to get into the meats and potatoes here, I've given you some scriptures here, but we've got a main text that I want to focus on today. And you know how we do it. There's no secret here. We Talk Radio, I've got my two hands up. And we talk about the Bible. The Bible is like having two hands, Zoom. Okay, we've got an Old Testament and a New Testament, right? The Old Testament represents the left hand here, which is the books of Genesis through the books of Malachi. Okay, in the New Testament, we start off with the Gospels, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, then we get into the Pauline letters, right? Then we talk about the day of Pentecost, the books of Acts, and we get into to the Tituses of the world and all these other things, right? We get into to everything that's coming to pass that's going to come to pass one day in the book of Revelations, the books of Matthew through the books of Revelations. That's our New Testament. We're going to talk about a very interesting book in the New Testament here that's called Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, a unique thing about the book of Hebrews, I just want to share with you here, just a little theology, all right, about the book of Hebrews. We don't know, all the scholars, no one, we really don't definitively know who actually wrote the book of Hebrews. Some speculate it was the Apostle Paul. Some say that it was some scholars of the Apostle Paul. It could have been Timothy. It could have been a few others, right? We don't really know, but here's one thing that we know about the book of Hebrews. Whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, they were inspired by the word of God. They were inspired by the word of God. Because remember faith, right? Remember our series, The Power of Faith, right? Faith is as God is. And as God is, faith is. Faith is the what? Substance of all substances. Okay? Faith is a substance of things hoped for. This is what we find in Hebrews. If you're not inspired by God, you cannot articulate and break down and exegete how faith operates and how it is in our lives. Remember, we talked about what hope does when hope aligns up with faith and it shines color on what you're believing God for. It's the substance of all substances, okay? And it evolves as God evolves. When God said, let us make man, when God said, let there be light, faith was right there by his side, bringing everything into fruition. That's what we find in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews talks about, I want you to just imagine yourself, it's football season. Think about the largest of football stadiums. Think about some of the Olympic stadiums that we've seen. Just imagine yourself in the largest of stadiums and everybody in that stadium, like 80, 100, 150, 200,000 people in that stadium, and they are all the great cloud of witnesses that the Hebrew book of Hebrews talks about. They're all looking down and they're cheering you on. They're coaching you on. You can see Noah. You can see Abraham. You can see Isaac and Jacob. You can see them all up there. You can see Mary. You can see Esther. You can see Mary Magdalene. They're all cheering you down and saying, come on, you can do it. You can exercise the power of discipline. You can exercise what it means to move forward and not look behind. Come on, you can do it. They're cheering you on. That's what we find in the book of Hebrews. When the word of God speaks, it doesn't matter who wrote it, because God is going to speak through us and live through us and meet us wherever we are. So therefore, you can be on your way to the store and run across some German Shepherd puppies for sale. And God will speak to you wherever you are in whatever situation you're about to encounter. That's the book of Hebrews. That's the significance of the book of Hebrews. This is what we find in the book of Hebrews. And now I want to talk about our heartbeat, the heartbeat of our message on today. As you see the scripture here, up on this morning here, Hebrews 12 and 11, and I am coming from the New International Version's translation of this scripture. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. In other words, uncomfortable. I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. Feels painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. It's talking about discipline. I'm going to read that again. I want that to saturate into your heart. Let's read that again. Keep the scripture up, team. Hebrews 12 and 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. There's that word again, peace. Discipline leads to peace. Discipline, ladies and gentlemen, leads to peace. The first discipline that we have to adhere to is a discipline of building our relationship with God. God trains. God corrects. God prepares. And most of all, God loves. Here's the next slide that I want to put up here on this morning. God takes us through a process of growth and development to prepare us for our purpose and the plans that He has for us. I'm going to read that again. God takes us through a process of growth and development to prepare us for our purpose and the plans that He has for us. The writer in the book of Hebrews tells us that discipline is an unpleasant process. It's painful. It's not comfortable. But as I stated last week, it's something about German. Maybe I need to go visit Berlin or something like that. But as I stated last week, German chocolate cake is good and it can give us instant gratification. But it's not healthy. Broccoli, on the other hand, does not taste as good as German chocolate cake. But if you can get past the taste, it has what you can find delayed gratification. It's got healthy benefits. It has the things that we need to nurture our bodies, not the things that our body has to fight to accept. There's a difference. So when we can get past the taste, that's a word for somebody out there on today. When you can get past the taste, you can then welcome the process. If you can just get past the taste, you can welcome the process. So, what is the process? And I want to be more defined in our word discipline here. What's the process of, here's the word, self-discipline. Let's talk about self-discipline. We're talking about us, not the disciplines and the things that we do to correct and teach and all that other people. Let's take personal responsibility for us. Let's take a personal assessment, personal accountability for us ourselves. Let's talk about self-discipline. And I want to thank y'all that have joined us on Zoom, those that have tuned in on YouTube, as well as Facebook Live and We Talk Radio on the Shine Lord program on this morning. Let's talk about self-discipline. Here's the next slide that we're going to put up here on this morning. Let's talk about processes. We're talking about the process of self-discipline. Process, ladies and gentlemen, is a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. I'm going to read that again. Process, the word process in itself, the way it operates, okay? Process is a series. That means it's more than one step. It's a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. Okay? It's a series of actions achieving an end. We talked about God being a finisher, and he expects us to be finishers. Process is taking you from point A to point Z. There is a step that starts, and there is a step that finishes. That's what process is. Achieving an end form. The series of actions. Remember, we said that God, again, God is a God of completion, so therefore God understands process. God could have created everything in one day, but God took his time and went through a process. Day number one, day number two, day number three, day number four, day number five, day number six, day number seven, and he rested. That's what God did. He is a God of process. He's a God of decency and order. He's a God of structure. And this is how, if we're created in his image, which we are, we have to live our lives and we have to become more orderly, structural, process-oriented when we do things in our lives. Okay? This is what was going to take us to the next level. This is going to separate that person that just wants to start a business and actually bring it into fruition. This is what's going to help somebody that wants to go out and set out to achieve something in their life. But all they're doing is sitting on the sidelines instead of operating the guidelines. Remember that? Remember that? You got to come off the sidelines and you have to start implementing the guidelines. That's what we talked about in our series, The Awakening. That was probably the first message I gave in 2021. It's time. I had that poem, The Awakening. God is doing a shaking for our awakening, but it is time for the people of God to wake up and to understand we have to be process oriented. We can't just fly by the cuff. We can't just do things off the cuff. We have to be disciplined and implement processes to have a start and a completion. I feel that somebody is being freed on today. I just feel the chains that are coming off. I feel the chains are being disconnected because somebody just did not realize. If I could just develop and implement a process, I can go to the next level in my life. Process. Remember what we said, God is a God of completion. I just want to kind of give you a little analogy here when I think of process. And we're almost done here this morning. And I thank y'all for listening to us on this morning here. Process. God is a God of completion. So therefore, God understands process. It's the process that we have to embrace. Not the end goal, not what we're trying to achieve, Facebook. It's the process that we have to adhere to. Process is like an engine. Think about an engine. Process is like the engine of a car. It's a rhythm. It's ever moving. It's like a cadence. That's all process. It never stops. It continues to move. It continues to move on, just like a motor. It's a rhythm. It's a cadence. That's what a process will do. It's moving. You can move away from it, but it's still moving. And when you come back, it's still moving on. It's a machine. That's what I want us to understand about moving from start to finish. It's not about being swift. It's not about being so fast. It's about being in the process. That is what we have to get used to accepting. That is embracing discipline. That is the foundation for the power of discipline. It is embracing, understanding, and accepting the process. Now that we understand process, let's talk about self-discipline and let's tie this together. Okay, let's tie this together And in particular, as we're talking about self-discipline, let's link these two together as we put up our next slide on this morning. And it says here, self-discipline is the ability to push yourself forward. Stay motivated, think of the machine, stay motivated and take action regardless to how you're feeling physically or emotionally. Let's read that slide again. Self-discipline is the ability, to push yourself forward. This is why I say you have to be your own cheerleader. If no one else is coaching you on, if no one else is cheering you on, you have to have the process so ingrained in you of being a completer. Even when you don't feel like it, when you don't want to, when your emotions are telling you that you shouldn't, you have to push yourself forward, stay motivated, and take action regardless of how you're feeling, physically or emotionally. That is what self-discipline is. Remember that engine. Remember that rhythm. Even though circumstances may change, you stay committed to the rhythm. You stay committed, Zoom, to the engine. You stay committed to the process. I like an example that we had when we were on a cruise ship way before COVID, obviously. And I just remember being on this cruise ship. And you know, when you're on a cruise ship, you're on a vacation and you got food all around you, food on top of food to the nth degree, food everywhere you turn around. And you can come on that cruise ship if you want to, saying, oh, I don't eat this. Oh, I've got this kind of restricted diet and all that. By day number two, all that's done went out the door because there's so much around you. And we're creatures of adaptation. We adapt to things. Okay. We allow ourselves to kind of, we let our guards down over time. And that's what happens. We become what our environment says that we should become oftentimes, except if you have self-discipline. And I remember getting up in the morning, walking around on the cruise ship, and I would see people in the gym, working out, playing basketball. I mean, brothers hitting the weights like nobody's business, doing anything. I'm like, first of all, you're on vacation. Leave all that at home. Nobody told them that. You know, you got all this food around them. I saw people eating salads and staying healthy and all that. When you got cake on top of cake and everything in the world and cookies and everything is at your leisure and all of that. And I just remember those people that operated in self-discipline. In other words, regardless of them being out of their comfort zone, regardless of them being out of their element, they stuck to the engine. They stuck to the process. They continued to get up. Nobody told them they need to get up that early, but they got up that early and they worked out. They got up that early and they stayed true. Now, they may have went and splurged and all of that, but one thing they continued to do is they embraced the process that got them to where they are. They didn't abandon it. They continued on with the process of working out. So that's what I want us to understand. Now, it doesn't happen overnight. To get to that level of where you accept the rhythm and the plan and the process, this does not happen overnight, okay? But what I want us to understand, this is why it's called a process, okay? And as we put our next slide up, ladies and gentlemen, here's what I want us to understand. It's a process to develop self-discipline. And self-discipline is a process in itself. How about that? We're talking about two different things here. There's two things going on. It's a process to develop self-discipline, and self-discipline is a process in itself. It's two things going on. It's a process of coming out of your comfort zone, whatever that is, or wherever you are currently, and your reality or your lifestyle, to then embrace the discipline of what you're getting ready to achieve. It's a process to get up to a point to where you're ready to accept the process. So in other words, it's the process before the process. Okay? It's the process before the process. I am learning to now get into the process of developing. A few years ago, I had this app on my phone when I wanted to start at the time, I was going to run a 10K or some marathon. I can't remember, 5K, 10K, something like that. This was about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago or so. And I remember there was this app that's called From Couch to 5K, Couch to 10K, something like that. And that app was giving you a development plan to take you from sitting on the couch, like if you were just a couch potato, not working out, not in physical shape or anything like that. It was going to take you from the couch to running a 5K or a 10K, right? And it would give you different little steps. It'd tell you how long to run, how long to walk. I think the very first day I ran for like 30 seconds and then I walked the rest of the way. Then the next day it had me to run for a minute and a half. And it was just, it was this entire process. So before I could even start training for the actual 5K or the 10K, whatever it was I was trying to run at the time, I had to just learn to come out of the comfort zone and just getting used to working out. I had to go through the process before the actual process. That's the thing that comes to mind when I'm thinking about that. So there is a discipline to get to the discipline. I'm going to say that again. There is a discipline to get to the discipline. Who am I thinking about right now? I am thinking about Peter. Because before Peter could start practicing the discipline of being the rock, Jesus said, upon this rock, he's talking to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It was my Father that told you that I am the Christ. Upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. That guy, that Peter, the rock, he was Simon, but he turned into the rock. Okay, the foundation that Jesus built, Peter being the rock, the foundation that Jesus built. Here's what Peter had to do before he can embrace the process of being the rock. He had to first be handpicked by Jesus. And he had to spend 3 dynamic years with Jesus learning, taking notes, being the understudy, just following Jesus and taking notes. That's what Peter had to first do. He had to go through the process before the process. He had to accept the process before the process. Okay? In football, there's a thing called training camp or mini camps. Training camp before you can get into practicing with the plays and all that. You got to go through the process before the process. This was the first part of discipline for Peter, as well as for all the other 12 disciples during that time. Disciple discipline. Remember the word. Disciple, discipline. Discipline, disciple. Those words are the same. They had to adhere to the discipline of being followers of Christ. Jesus took Peter in particular from a successful businessman to a kingdom builder. I'm going to say that again, and I want y'all to understand that. Jesus took Peter from businessman to kingdom builder with the process. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, as I get ready to close, Jesus interrupted Peter's story. He interrupted the life of Peter. He told him to just follow me. In other words, accept the process. And I'm going to change who you're fishing for. Ooh, that's a word for somebody on the day. Just follow me, and I am going to change who you are fishing for. Here's my question. What can Jesus take you to from what you were from? What can Jesus take you from and take you to? I'm going to say that again. What level in your life where you live in and Jesus comes in and interrupts your story and gives you a new process for your life? What can Jesus take you from, ladies and gentlemen, and take you to? If there was another name that I would give this message on today, it would be, what can Jesus take you from and take you to? How did Jesus interrupt the story of your life? How did Jesus change your life and the disciplines in your life? What kind of life were you living? And he came in and changed your name. You had a name by the name of Saul. You had a name by the name of Simon, but he changed you from Saul to Paul. He changed you from Simon to Peter. What can Jesus take you from and take you to? See, you thought you were going to the left, and Jesus redirected your disciplines to the right. You thought that Jesus came, and that when he came into your life, you were going to do all of these things, but he interrupted your story and he took you down a path that you did not know you were going to go to. That's why I say he's the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to let him continue to write your faith out. You need to let him continue to write out that faith, because he is going to do and complete a great thing inside of you. What can Jesus take you from and take you to? Can he interrupt your story? Can you allow him to interrupt your story and give you the number 8? Can he give you a new beginning? What can Jesus take you from and take you to? What can Jesus take you from, ladies and gentlemen, and take you to? See, I want to get back to the teaching, but I just feel that that's a word for somebody, because they thought that this is what their life was supposed to be. But Jesus came in and did a name change for them in their life. Jesus came in and changed some of the disciplines in their life. What can Jesus take you from and take you to? Whatever the two is, you have to understand it's going to be a process. You have to understand that you have to accept the process of change within itself. What you used to do, how about that? What you used to be. If you were bumping and doing and all this stuff in a club, he's going to change that club, now called the church. The music is still nice. The music is still, you can still get your groove on, but you in a different club on today. What can Jesus take you from and take you to when you accept the process? Being disciplined, changing your why, changing who you are, changing the way you see this world, changing the way you see your life, changing the way you embrace people, changing the thoughts and the ideas of people. Maybe you didn't like certain cultures and certain ethnicities or whatever. That might have been your from, but Jesus has got a new to for you. That might have been your from, but Jesus has got a new to for you. You used to be from over here, but now you're going to where you need to go. You used to be in Bethlehem, but now you're sitting right next to the hand of the Father. What can Jesus take you? I can't get up that this morning. What can he take you from and take you to if you allow him to implement the process in your life? Let me just calm down and get back to teaching. That hits so hard and that heavy, because when I think about my own life and I think about the from that I came from, I think about as an early child and things that I experienced in my life and growing as a young man and trying to figure out life. If you would have told me 20 years ago that I'd be sitting right now doing this, I would have told you this was not a part of my too. But it took some years of discipline. It took some years of process building. It took some changes in my life to get me to this point in time in my life. Even 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago, I wouldn't have told you that I'm doing this right now. Can you let Jesus take you from the from and take you to the to? That's a word for somebody on today. But as I got one last slide here, I'm trying to put the preacher over here and bring the teacher in, because I want you to be equipped with this information here. I got one last slide before I let you go that I just want to share with you on this morning. The process of developing discipline. I just want to real quick here talk about, I'm going to give you one note and we're going to continue this message. The process of discipline is going to roll into next week. I got so much more that I want to be able to share with you here. So you want to come back next Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. But I'm just going to quench your taste on this morning here with step number one. Number one in the process of discipline, as we put our next slide up here. Number one, here's what you got to do. You got to make the decision to change. You have to make the decision to change. In Joshua 24 and 15, I'm coming from the New King James version of the Bible. Choose for yourselves is what he's saying here. I'm skipping down and into that verse there, but I'm going to pull out the fruit that's going to align with this message right now. Choose for yourselves this day, today, not tomorrow, this day, whom you will serve. And then he tells us here later on there that it's a choice. It's a choice. Choose who you're going to serve. And then he goes down a little bit further after he tells you the choice. He's saying, okay, that's for you. But here's for me. As for me and my house, we will. I made the choice. I've made the decision. I'm going to accept the process. I'm going to accept the engine. I'm going to accept what God is doing. I'm going to accept what God is showing. I'm going to accept the from, and I'm going to welcome in the two, because for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We have to make the choice. We have to make the decision. We have to accept the engine. We have to allow the process to be the process. And number one is make the decision, ladies and gentlemen, to change. That's what I want us to know on this morning. He made that choice. Now, in a more practical sense, you got to start off by choosing small, measurable goals in your life. You don't hop from the pool to the ocean. Okay, there's a pond, there's a river, okay, there's other bodies of water that lead you into before the sea, all that you lead to, all things that can lead you to before you get into the actual ocean. But we want to start off by giving ourselves small, measurable goals as we develop this process of discipline. We got so much more to uncover here. We got so much more. You don't want to miss this. We're right dead smack in the middle of talking about the process of discipline. We're going to pick up from here next Sunday. I've taken more of your Sunday than I intended to on this morning. I want to thank you for your patience, and I want to thank you for tuning in here. But we're just going to allow that self-discipline, that muscle to build. As faith is a muscle, we're going to build that discipline muscle, and we're going to get there, and we're going to get to where God needs for us to get. But the most important thing is we just have to, in our minds, make sure that we make the decision. That we make the decision. I'm going to end on that right now, because we got a lot more to cover. So I'm going to stop right here. And I want to thank you for tuning in with us on this morning here. But before we go, somebody right now, somebody, I feel it in my spirit, some chains got removed from somebody on this morning. And if those chains got removed, whatever it was that was ensnaring you in your life, and you want to come back to the Father, because remember, his arms are always open. His arms never fold in. He loves you and he wants you. He wants you to choose this day who you're going to serve. And he wants you to, in your house, serve the Lord. Your spiritual house, serve the Lord. Whoever that is right now, before we close this message, you have a golden opportunity. As I talked a few minutes ago about that great cloud of witnesses that we read about in the book of Hebrews, they're cheering you on right now. A grandmother that prayed for you. A grandfather that prayed for you said, come on and cross that finish line. Come on into the king, the king's team that never loses. Whoever you are right now, whoever you are right now, I want you to lift your hand and just say, Lord Jesus, accept me in your kingdom. Loose all my shackles, Lord, and set me free. Welcome me into your kingdom. And I thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for keeping me alive to have this moment on September 12th of 2021. I believe that you died, that you rose on the third day with all the power and with all the glory. I accept you in my life, and I am ready for the process. If that's you, I want to thank you. Welcome me into this kingdom. This is a team that never loses. I want to thank you for just taking that step. Somebody got free on today. I expect to receive a note from somebody that it was them, that it was you, whoever it is. And if I don't hear from you, I know spiritually that somebody got freed this morning. We kind of redirected our message a little bit because somebody got free on this morning. That's the most important thing. And if that's you, feel free to reach out to me, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. If you want continued biblical teaching, we're here every Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'll find you a good Bible-believing church that's teaching you from the Word of God, not an opinion, not the religious processes that we have, but that's going to give you book, chapter, and verse and help you to apply the Word of God into your life. That's what God is looking for. And this last season, we're in the 11th hour, and God is looking for biblical teachings in the 11th hour. Not opinions, Not all these other things here. Listen, we done been past all that, y'all. We've gone through that now. This is a new day, a new season. And if you want to be a part of a church that's a part of this new move from God, we're right here. We'd love to have you. We'd love to welcome you. We'd love to embrace you. I want to thank everybody for tuning in here. Let's close out with our message. But before we do that, we've got a great thing called giving. This is the part of our service that everybody can participate in. This is the part that everybody can participate in on this morning here. As you see here, there are many ways that you can give to this message. There are many ways that you can give into this, to this ministry is what I meant to say here. You can give to us on Givelify. Okay, you see the QR code for Givelify up, those that are on YouTube and Facebook Live, okay? You can see the slide up on the giving slide up here on Zoom. Okay, you can give to us on Zelle, info.soilchurch@gmail.com. Or if you're old school and want to send in a paper check or a money order or anything like that, listen, we still got that way as well, to the great P.O. Box 180972 Arlington, Texas. All right, you can send it over to us. We pray over every single seed that comes into this ministry. I speak a hundredfold return over every seed. I don't care about it. It's not about the amount. It's not about the amount. It's about the obedience. It's about the saying, Lord, I receive something. And since I receive something, I want to give something. That's how we reciprocate blessings. What you receive, you give. You give, you receive. That's how God operates. Okay, you don't have to be a member of this church to be blessed by this church. If you tune into this message, this word was a blessing to you. Show it by just giving a kind gift, and we appreciate that. We're building something here. We pray over these seeds, and we love it, okay? So I want to thank you for your time. Let's close out here with our benediction. Heavenly Father, Lord, this was a great word, and we thank you for your word on today. Thank you for your message on today, Lord. Whatever we came from, we thank you for the two, and we thank you for the process of getting us from the from to the to. And we thank you, Lord Jesus. You're the author and the finisher of our faith, Lord. Because without faith, it's impossible to please you. And we want to please you, but we want to be disciplined. We want to develop our disciplined life in you. We want to develop our disciplined life in all that you have for us, so that Jeremiah 29:11 can manifest those plans. You're so, Lord, you're so strategic, and we thank you for your plans. Just continue to grow us, mold us, shape us, keep us safe and in your care. And we just thank you for all that you're doing. Continue to help us to grow in discipline and to welcome the process. In the mighty, magnificent, beautiful, bountiful name of your son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Listen, thank y'all for tuning in on this morning. We're going to be back next Sunday. We're right here. Don't miss it. We got a lot more to cover. We got a lot more to cover. All I can tell you is don't meet me there. Beat me there. Have a fantastic Sunday. We'll see you folks next week. All right. Love you. And we'll see you next week.